Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning into the Liberty Report. With me today is Chris Rossini as co-host. And Chris, thank you for being with us today on the program.
It's always great to be with you, Dr. Paul.
Okay, very good. And a lot of exciting things happening. And we do talk a lot about the Federal Reserve and markets and gold. But today seems to be a very appropriate day for this. But when we initially decided that we would talk about this subject, we didn't know what the markets would be doing, but the markets are, you know, if you're looking for excitement and not too worrying about how much money somebody might lose, they're pretty exciting. But what we wanted to really touch base on today is the argument going on, and I guess it's several weeks, as the sharp criticism coming from Trump and other members of the administration going after the Fed chairman. Now, this is nothing new. As long as I've been thinking about Federal Reserve policy and working in the Congress and dealing with about six or seven Federal Reserve Board chairmen, that is very, very common. And there's a lot of grandstanding and political activity going on there and who gets blamed. And so that has to be sorted out. But inevitably, if a market seems to be slightly weak and elections coming up, the administration, you know, blames the Federal Reserve. Sometimes they're very, very serious about it, and sometimes they're just knowing they have to do that to show that they're interested. But I know you've watched pretty closely on what's been going on here and some of the things that, you know, Trump is saying, you know, about the Federal Reserve Board chairman. And they deserve scrutiny and they deserve criticizing, but we'd like to see the criticism and the answers to be more appropriate with a sound monetary system. And sometimes our side of the argument isn't heard very well.
Yes, this week the president gave an interview to the Wall Street Journal, which we read, and he was talking about the Fed, and he is criticizing them, which on its face is a good thing, but the way he's going about it, I don't necessarily agree with. So we'll start with a few quotes today, and I'll quote the president. He says, "I'm very unhappy with the Fed because Obama had zero interest rates, and I have almost normalized rates. You give me zero interest rates, and you show me my numbers with zero interest rates." He had phony numbers because it was based on zero interest. And what the president, whether or not he understands it or not, is it's all phony. Anything that isn't the market rate is a phony interest rate. And that's the whole purpose of the Federal, or one of the purposes of the Federal Reserve's existence, is to manipulate interest rates. So it's all phony. And after the 2008 bust, they pumped in trillions of dollars, artificially suppressed rates down to zero. President Obama wrote it up. President Trump just hopped on after Obama. It's all phony, the whole thing. The president just doesn't want it to end while he's in office.
Right. And they're too low now, too, if you're looking, comparing them to real market rates. And that's why it isn't easy to tell them what to do, telling Congress what to do, what the president what to do, and what the Fed chairman should do, because they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing. But, you know, when rates were significantly higher, but not very much higher, comparatively speaking, was under Greenspan. I mean, he inflated a lot, and he had interest rates too low, and then we had a bust. And I remember so clearly Greenspan was being blamed. Well, you know, he kept the interest rates too low too long, but they were nothing like zero. So instead of correcting it, the people who said Greenspan was wrong and the interest rates were too low too long, they went ahead and did the same thing. They even lowered them. Now the Fed is in a bind, and I think Trump is sensing this because, you know, if the economy turns down, which I'm sure he knows business well enough, that the economy comes and goes, and he's recognizing that, you know, when this happens, there's not much room for the Fed. But he's not arguing. That's why you have to get him up. The intervention and say, well, get them up higher so we have a tool, which means that we can turn the spigot down up again if we need to. But I think the circumstances today are reflecting, conditions that never existed before, because there's no room for air. And that's all they produce, are air after air, but no room for adjustments like raising interest rates and lowering interest rates. They're really in a bind. It's quite a bit different when we had the doldrums of the 70s, a lot of price inflation and a weak economy and stagflation. And but interest rates had crept up 15 to 20%. So when Volcker came in, you know, he had to face similar circumstances that he had to turn this off for different reasons. So he did. He brought on a recession and turned it off and brought interest rates way down. But there's no room for that. And that's why, Chris, I think people are getting very, very nervous. I think a lot of other people know exactly what's going on, and they listen to the financial reports, and it's almost like they're trying to brainwash themselves. Oh, this is going to last a couple days. This is just a little correction, no big problem. We can adjust this. We can take care of it. And yet, I think the conflict this time between the administration and the Fed is much more real than it has been in the past, because before you had to at least pretend that you wanted to do something to help the economy. But I think they're at a position where they're at an impasse. I don't think it's going to be easy for the Fed. I don't think it's going to be easy for the administration. I suspect that Trump knows what's coming because he's been around long enough in the business community. But I'll tell you what, I don't agree with him that the salvation will come by having zero interest rates, so he can compare his record with Obama's at the same interest rates. There's a justification for criticizing what interest rates were doing in Obama, but the answer isn't going back to that. Of course, we talk about the answers for situations like that is just get rid of the Fed and get the Fed out of the business of rigging interest rates and get the Fed out of the business of monetizing debt, which is a big difference on what they're talking about. But right now, if you look at the markets today, there's a reflection of this mess that they're in, and I think it's very, very serious. Whether or not this is the final blow off with this, that will eventually lead to the crunching of the dollar, we don't know that, but it's making a lot of people nervous. But in a way, if you want to compare it to where it might go and what has happened in the past, you know, the stock market going down 3 or 4%, that's not a big deal, and that can correct it. But there's reason for us to be concerned that this may turn into something that not very many people are going to like. And when you look at some of those stocks going down right now, it should be a warning sign. Even these stocks like Amazon, why would Amazon go down? Well, maybe there's an anticipation or an understanding that maybe this recession that's coming is it's further along than they believe, and is going to be so severe that maybe people just quit buying stuff. And that's what happens in depression. People aren't able to buy stuff and stocks go down. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. It's sort of like war. It's too bad it's so serious, because it certainly is an exciting game they play. And this is a game they're playing. It's exciting. But unfortunately, a lot of people are going to get hurt. And just like it was in 08 and 09, the middle class suffered, and that is what's going to happen again. And that's why, hopefully, this country will wake up and decide that there's a much better system for a monetary policy than we're trying to follow. But in the meantime, we're going to hear these struggles, you know, between the president and with the Federal Reserve. But quite frankly, that debate isn't going to solve our problem.
Yeah, and this, it's a tough situation, because the fact that the president is criticizing the Fed is great. The Fed hides in the shadows constantly. They don't want anybody to know what they're up to, who they are, what they do. It's, you know, whatever, a little bit will get out into the media, their silly statements. But what they do is hidden from the American people, and the fact that the president is talking about it is great. The way he's talking about it is the problem. For example, he says, again, in the Wall Street Journal, "I'm just telling you, I've done very well with instinct. My instinct is that he, the Fed chairman, is raising interest rates too much." But that's, you know, his instinct can't tell you where interest rates are. That's President Trump being the central planner. Neither the Fed nor the president has any idea what interest rates should be. So that's the problem. He's not attacking them where they need to be attacked.
You know, over the years, when the Federal Reserve Board chairman would come before the banking committee, and I would try to get some information from them, and I'd point out some problems that we're facing, and, you know, frequently they came back with saying, you know, you're right, that is a problem, and there has to be some correction. But they always use the word orderly. Everything has to be orderly. You know, yes, interest rates can go up or down, or prices can go up or down, but just so it's orderly and not, you know, a crash. They don't want the market going down 30% in one day. It has to be orderly. Then they're satisfied with it, get the people to adjust to it. But I think we're approaching a time, and really, in some ways, compared to what has been disorderly before, this is still rather orderly, but hence that it's going to get very disorderly. Like in 87, the market went down over 20% in one day. So that is what they have to contend with. But right now, because of that crash in 87, Reagan issued an executive order to establish the President's Working Group on Financial Markets, which is referred to as the Plunge Protection Team, because they didn't like that disorderliness of the 20% drop in the stock market in one day. So they're there, and they're busy, and I'll bet they're very busy now. I think that helps explain, you know, when the market goes down 600 points, they're able to, you know, bring it back up 400 the next day. But that's just temporary. Eventually, they will have no control of that. And they have to prepare for a major bailout. And I think that's what they're doing. I think they know a lot more, and they always have to pretend that things are working out. We know what we're doing. I saw something from Paul Ryan today, a press release. And it was sort of the propaganda that the administration got. Everything is rosy, you know, everything is perfect. And I think the markets are powerful. There's a lot of interference. There's a lot of rigging of the stock market, and there's a lot of rigging of the gold price. But ultimately, the people and the markets are much stronger than governments, but there's a lot of pain and suffering that has to go along with this until it's all sorted out.
Yes, I'll finish, Dr. Paul, with another quote. This one will be from Fed Chairman Powell. And when he said it, I immediately put it down in my notes because I knew it would come in handy someday. And today I'm going to use it. And he was talking about the U.S. economy. And he said it was experiencing, quote, a remarkably positive set of economic circumstances. There's no reason to think that this cycle can't continue for quite some time, effectively indefinitely. That's what a rosy picture of the economy. You know when he said that? October 3rd. That was the exact day of the Dow high, which was about 1,500 points ago. So that just shows you, do not listen to the central planners, the media, politicians. You got to get to the truth yourself, because you're the mark when they're speaking on television.
Yeah, and we've heard that many times in the past. You know, when people get concerned about the robust economy and the stock market, well, it's different this time, new paradigm. And that's this is what Trump is arguing. No, the old rules are there. There's economic rules and laws that they can you know, alter a bit and delay corrections, but eventually they can't deal with it. But as far as you know, who wins this argument, if there is such a thing, you know, between the president and the Federal Reserve. Ultimately, on the short run, you know, I think the Fed is, I give them the edge. I think they're more powerful than the president. I think the Federal Reserve is very, very much closer to the deep state, and they have their fingers in this. So if there's a decision on their part that they need to get a little bit more room, we have to get these interest rates up. So even if the market goes down more in the next several days, I don't think the Fed's going to cave in quickly to what Trump is saying. They may have to do it later on when things get so bad. But I think of policy-wise, the Fed is definitely stronger than our president or our Congress, because they're all in bed together. Trump needs the Fed to monetize the money he needs for the militarization of our empire. And the rest of them, Republicans and Democrats, who run up these huge deficits, they can't do it without the Federal Reserve. Reserve. They have to have the Federal Reserve. So what they have to be cautious about is if they go too far, are they going to destroy the dollar? Now, that is the limiting factor. That's what will bring things down. And, you know, the dollar right now is not doing badly. But one of the ultimate measurements of the dollar is the value of gold. And we know what's happened since we've had a Fed. It was $20 when the Fed started, and now look at it, it's nearly $1,300. And that's a reflection. And right now, gold in a day-to-day with the stock market in turmoil, gold is going up. It is responding in a way one would predict. And so therefore, the markets can give us a lot of indication of what's happening. But the big thing is the fiat system, the forever deficit system, and that the people say, well, this is different this time, the new paradigm, and we'll pay for these bills by this fudging our figures. Oh, there'll be economic growth, and then we'll have more revenues, and then we can pay for all those bills. Well, it doesn't seem to be working right now. The new money and the deficits has helped. There's no doubt. No doubt about it. But when they created all this new money on the QE3s, what did it do? Did it go into really rebuilding our economic system? No, we still have problems. That's why one thing, everything is perfect. The other thing is things are so bad, we have to have a trade war because we're always getting beaten up on the marketplace. So they can't have it both ways. But when they had all this new money, which eliminated the need to get the market signals of real interest rates and getting money from savings, they just had the money, and the banks and the business people gobbled it up. And what happened to it? It was translated into high prices of stocks. So prices, that's one reason why you have to have stocks go down. They say, what was the reason? Who did what? And they'll come up with a certain incident. Well, interest rates are going up and whatnot. Well, the stocks are coming down because they're too high. Why are they too high? Because we printed too much money, and the money went in there and bid these prices way up, just like the prices of bonds have gone up. So those are the reasons. The other things are excuses, and there's a lot of excuses why this has to go down. You know, there'll be political and economic and social excuses. But the real reason why you have these kind of problems, and this is a big one, and it's going to last, it's going to get a lot worse before, you know, it's over, but you have to deal with the fundamentals, and that is that you have to have a sound monetary system, and you can't pretend that you can have endless, unlimited debt and unlimited government and be able to say that we'll always be able to pay for it. We don't pay the bills. The debt is a big thing. You know, I used to use the figure of a couple $100 trillion dollars of unfunded liability. I saw the one the other day. Well, it depends on how you look at it. It's much higher than that. And it is true, you can't calculate that exactly. So those aren't going to be paid. And these bonds and things in the communities and cities and states, there's so much debt out there. So this is a very, very serious problem. There is going to be an explosion of this, and tinkering with the interest rates and looking, say, well, we have to settle this dispute. We don't want all this dissension going on between our president and between our chairman of the Federal Reserve Board. That will make it disorderly, and we can't have disorder. I'll tell you what, they're not going to have control over the disorder. There's going to be plenty of disorder, and they're going to have to face up to the fact. The people have to face up to the fact, because it's not just the special interest. It's not just Goldman Sachs at the Federal Reserve that causes the problem. The people want this stuff, too. I mean, just look at the campaign going on of people promising free stuff, free education, free medical care for everybody. It's all based on, well, we'll just keep printing the money. It's insane. It's just, we're approaching the end of that, and I think this is why there's a lot of nervousness out there. I think it has a reflection of some of the dissent, political dissent, and the anger between the factions, because I think subtly it's realized that there's no way we can fulfill all the political promises that have been made, and that something has to be done, and they have no idea what to do, because they certainly aren't going to turn the switch off on big government and turn the switch on for individual liberty. which is what we need. And hopefully we contribute something to that. And we'll look forward to continue to talk about this and reporting on this. But we're at the crossroads right now. And it's very, to me, I see it as an opportunity to present the case for sound money, the case for limited government, the case for individual liberty, the case for getting rid of the empire, the case for looking at you know, an economy that is market-oriented and not manipulated, and looking forward to the day that we prove to the world that not only should we audit the Federal Reserve, we need to get rid of it. Then we'll be approaching the solution to this problem that just is not going to go away unless we look to these answers. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Come back soon.